Right, we're on. We're
Good.
gridded. You got everything
Now,
sorted?
yes, good. Now, I'm glad you're here. Can you explain to me how did they get the hair from the first actor onto Nicolas Cage's head in Ghost Rider? Because that just absolutely, I can't understand it. How do they do it?
Well, I mean, it's really a question of sedation of the first actor and just being really, really careful with the clippers.
Did they take his hair off?
They took his hair off. His hair
Amazing.
off.
I mean
Right. I don't want to.
that film.
Okay. I don't want to talk about Ghost Rider anymore because it was just too terrifying because I could still hear the music. Right. Should we just get going?
Yes.
Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast
What
show
was
type
that?
thing. No, don't worry about
Is
it. Just
that adding music?
ignore it and move on. No, I'm still playing with the music. I'm still trying to work out what to do with it all, so it's all good.
I've had
I
that
am
tune
Mr.
going around in
Birch.
my
With
head.
me, as always, is Mr. Smith. The reason that you heard that at the beginning of the show today is because somebody was stupid enough to put a comment in the chat this morning to say, "Oh yeah, I've still got that Ghost Rider song kicking around my head for the entire day." And I went, "What Ghost Rider song?" And you went, "Oh, the one by Johnny Cash." So you're welcome.
Yeah, because that's not made it any better. Thanks,
Also,
Mr. Birch.
I should point out, and people don't get to see this, but the video, my video thing, I've gone old time westerny on my video thing, and I've
It's
gone
all
sepia toned.
sepia.
And
Yeah.
also during the music, both of us were doing the horse riding bit.
Riding the horse
So
in the sky.
I may have to turn that into a GIF at some point.
Oh, I forgot you're recording this video as well.
Well, the video as well, yeah, absolutely. Right, we've got a fair bit to go through, but we're going to try and keep it tight today because reasons. Reason number one is that yeah, we're kind of going right. So we got to start with the usual thing. Dubstep or normal?
Dubstep if you got it.
Good choice. This is the news. I just love it. Sorry.
I picked dubstep to try and wipe out the Ghost Riders thing, but now all my head is thinking is like, what would a dubstep version of Ghost Riders in the Sky sound like?
I don't
Challenge
know, but
to people listening.
I'm betting you it exists somewhere. News, right? Let's
Yes.
talk. The big news, and we talked about this last week, is data, as in we have more of it, and
Yes.
cinemas are opening, and films are coming out. But it's really unusual because there is a huge difference in what's going on in the UK box office than what's going on in the US box office. So it's really odd. So there's a huge number of films now. So I mean, I don't think there was any crossover, or there was very little crossover last week in the data between the top 10 US and the top 10 UK.
There's a
So
few, there's a
there's a
bit,
few, but
but
there's not as many as
it's
normal.
often it would look very parallel because they would just release in the same week and you'd get the same couple of films at the top and there'd be a little bit of variation in order. But now it's definitely, yeah. So for example, looking at week 22 in the US, you've got A Quiet Place 2 was out, followed by Cruella, Spiral, Wrath of Man. In the UK, it's Conjuring, Peter Rabbit, Cruella again, and then Demon Slayer Mugen Train, one of our favorite. So yeah, very, very mixed up by comparison. He's scrolling through his long list of films.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I've also
so
managed to
not
spill
it's
my drink all
back.
over me as well. So hang on.
Yeah,
Sorry.
it's back, but not as we know it. I think maybe over time it will start to sort of get back to what we're more familiar with, but yeah, interesting times. So and really important then, really important as a player to sort of keep a track on those release dates, right? Because they're definitely not coming out at the same time. Which means if you're going to buy certain people for a big film, you're going to have to hold on for them for longer, right? To cash in.
Yeah. So our 4 weeks of winning slogan appears to be kind of back. Yeah.
17 weeks with a bit of quiet in the middle.
Yeah, but it's definitely back now. So you need to be very careful with your cast. And yeah, the release dates all seem to have settled down in terms of they've put together what films are coming out and they're sending films out now. So I think it's obviously getting back to normal.
Well, I mean, A Quiet Place Part 2, quite notable because I think it was like it had its premiere and then 2 days later the US went into lockdown, right?
Well, exactly.
It was so, I heard an interview with John Krasinski, the director.
Yep.
And he was saying, yeah, they'd done the premiere and it was like literally 2 days before it was about to hit the cinemas, it all got pulled. That's out now, right? So that was like last out, first in, or last.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, it was released and then it was pulled, and yeah, it's all kinds of stuff. So, Quiet Place, we don't normally let re-releases count, but obviously, A Quiet Place 2 doesn't count
really
in that respect.
Got
so
released,
so we're going to let that one slide. But yeah, so the other thing that's popped up is obviously I've been very lax in putting cast in because there hasn't been any cast to put in. But now, obviously, we're back. So I'm trying to get ahead of putting it in. So we had a situation where I put some cast in quite late on, and some people saw it and jumped on the opportunity, and some people didn't. And there was a bit of a
kerfuffle. I think it was 3 hours before the deadline.
Yeah. I think a kerfuffle is basically the best way of putting it. There wasn't any kind of shouting. There was just like a... So that was basically as far as it got.
There was some definite ruffled feathers.
I wouldn't even say there was a ruffling. There was a mild toss, which obviously in British terms is like a serious social faux pas. But everywhere else, we don't care. But
there was some disappointed tutting. Yes,
There was a disappointed. Anyway, so what we're trying to do now is get well ahead of it. So basically, what I'm doing is I'm avoiding putting cast in on Thursdays, which is when Whopper decides to close its doors to new entries. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably do them either at the weekend or very early in the week. But also I'm trying to do them several weeks ahead. So for example, I've gone through the system and I have identified anyone who is in the Fast and Furious films of note, and I've made sure that they're in the system. So if you really, really want Jordana Brewster in your cast, or Chris Ludacris, whatever his surname is, then yes, you can now have these people. Or Tyrese
his
Gibson.
His surname is Luda, so he was like Chris Luda, and his nickname is Ludacris.
Let's say that's true.
Who knows?
Yeah. But in the system, he's credited in Whopper as Ludacris.
Yeah.
But
and hence, I have no idea what his real name is.
Well, his name's Chris. Anyway, look. Yeah. That's not. I mean, I'm going to have to look him up now because I feel like we've done Mr. whatever his surname is.
We've done a disservice. Yeah.
Yes, we've. And I don't want to disservice Ludacris, because if you dis Ludacris, you're going to get. Anyway, let's not continue. Anyway, point being is I'm trying to get ahead with everything and put some stuff in. So I have also as I'm watching film. So for example, I've watched a bit of a classic film this week because I just haven't seen it for a while, and I went through that entire cast and put them in. So and there's a lot of people in that film who have gone on to big careers or who are that guy in a film. So so you might suddenly kind of go, God, why are these six people suddenly added into the system, and what possible connection have they got to new films? And I haven't. It's just that I watched it last night and I think it's an awesome film. Bonus points if you can guess what that film was, by the way, if you want to look through the cast.
By the cast you've added. Well, now I'm going to have to go and have a look.
Yeah, you see it. I'm playing my own little games now.
And, meta. It's like meta.
Someone did also notice the fact that have you started watching Call My Agent, which is a which is a French comedy show about a talent agent. And I was like, no. Because I've just put the whole cast in. But the reason I've put the whole cast of Call My Agent in is one of them is in a film that's coming up. And then I also thought, well, while I'm there, let's put all of them in because
they're going to turn up in stuff.
Because once Matthew Perry started making films, everyone else jumped on the old bandwagon, and you know, no one told you it was going to be this way. So that's what I'm kind of trying to do. Yeah, I'm all over that. I'm all over them. You're going to play this back and just go, "Is he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that joke." So that's kind of what we're. Yeah, sorry, Smith. I've had way too much coffee this morning. This episode of the podcast, episode of the podcast has been brought to you by Cold Brew Coffee. Have you ever tried Cold Brew Coffee?
No, I don't do coffee. And you told me, you told me some time ago about the dangers of Cold Brew Coffee.
Absolute dangers of Cold Brew Coffee. So I've been recklessly experimenting with this. This is what happens if you live in the same house as a food scientist. You start to do weird stuff. But yeah, basically you make coffee, but rather than make it with hot water, you make it with cold water. You leave it to percolate. You leave it to think about what it's done for 24 hours. And then you drink very small amounts of it because it's absolute rocket fuel. Where was I? Oh, yes, that's right. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Barcelona. Right. Moving on. So the cast stuff is important. So it's, we're going to get better at doing it, and I'm going to probably sit down, and I still do a kind of a reckoning every so often. Mm-hmm. We will start looking at the cast again. I think a few weeks ago or a few months ago, we looked at the best performers so far. We'll probably do that next time round because we'll have had a bit more data to go. We'll do that before Fast and Furious kicks in and just massively skews our figures.
It's coming up. It'll be hitting us, I think, on the next podcast.
I know. We've got to go to it. So that'll give you an idea. And then, looking through the cast, some people are very expensive. We never went above 15 million Fuffle Bucks before, but there's a few people who are 16. Ooh. And it is Mr. The Rock. And Deadpool. Looking at the review buzz around the Hitman's wife's bodyguard, which came out this week, everyone's gone, yeah, nah.
Interesting. We're going to touch on that as we look at the upcoming films in just a minute.
Yeah, the buzz on that is not funny. They said a lot of people are in it, and they're not very funny. So anyway. But as usual, though, if there are cast additions that you would like to make, let me know. Best place to get me on is Discord, or you can just, if you're from the early 20th or 21st century, you can email me.
I hear emails making a comeback. It's like hipster Twitter. So it's like, it's what we should be using now, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not known for being antiquated, even though I'm sitting here on a sepia-toned video call with LP.
This podcast is coming straight from the 1890s.
And wearing a watch that doesn't have a screen on it. I know. My watch just tells me what time it is. It doesn't do anything else.
Is it a single? I think it's a single use device.
Single use device, indeed, absolutely. But so there's one more thing I want to talk about because I've had a few weeks to think about it, and now I'm not happy. So last we talked about Henry Cavill comes up a lot on this podcast.
Hang on,
you want to stand? Okay, I'll push the button. In Henry Cavill news.
Thank you for the sting.
Thank you.
Yeah. In Henry Cavill news. There's been Henry Cavill news.
We covered it a few weeks ago. We covered it with my increasing enthusiasm for him being cast as Bond, with nothing to do with the fact that I've got money on it. His relatively good performance in Justice League, but also the fact that they're now filming Witcher season 2, which was very successful, but also he is going to be involved in the remake of Highlander.
Yes.
And we were like, but I've had to think about it. No.
You've decided against it, even though he's shown he can be quite handy with a sword.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be okay, but I just don't think we need it.
Right.
And that's it, really. That's all I wanted to say about it. I don't think it needs to be remade. I think that there are a very few perfect films in this world, and Highlander, despite all of its massive faults, which we're going to come on to later on, is one of those films. It's like, just leave it alone. It's like Princess Bride. It's fine. Leave it. We're happy with the one we have. So I've decided, wish him luck. I hope it's good. I'm sure it'll be a very nice film, but it's not going to be better than the original. It's only going to be compared to the original. And it's never going to be, oh, this is much better than the first version. Everyone's going to go, no, it's not as good as the first version. Oh, Queen isn't doing the music. There's no, Sean Connery's not in it, etc. And everyone's going to go, yeah, it's not as good.
Well, you know my position. You're absolutely right. I think they waited until Sean Connery had passed before they dared do this. And like we've discussed, if Muse come in and do the soundtrack, then maybe, just maybe, I will give it I'll give it the time of day.
Well, okay, so hang on.
Until such time as the untitled Flash Gordon project arrives.
You see, and that's the thing. If George Miller decides to make Flash Gordon, are you gonna then cancel?
Is that a thing? Is George Miller might, because that would just be.
It should be.
Because
it's amazing, right? If George Miller decides to do Flash Gordon, he has to get Muse into it, at which point they're not allowed to touch Highlander. Your head's exploded, hasn't it? You've just gone.
You have just blown my mind. That would be with possibly Tom Hardy as Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
I know. Just lift the Mad Max Fury Road cast.
Yeah. And just dump him in. Flash Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's next level. I was just, strangely enough, I was thinking of Flash Gordon.
Everyone, please hold on. We've now gone off on a massive tangent.
I was thinking about Flash Gordon yesterday because I was listening to Richard Herring's podcast, Leicester Square Theatre podcast. He was running some old ones that he did, and he had Brian Blessed as a on stage, and he was interviewing him. In over an hour, he asked Brian Blessed 4 questions, and Brian Blessed talked nonstop for 4 hours off the back of just 4 questions. It was amazing.
Fantastic.
I thoroughly recommend looking it up because they're
right.
If you just look at the recent episodes, he's running some like best of ones, and the Brian Blessed one is, and he is Brian Blessed is foul mouthed in the most amazing way.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So reeling it back. Brian Blessed, Flash Gordon,
George Miller, Highlander, right, yeah, okay, Henry Cavill. We're back in
the
room.
Thank you for letting me go there.
You're welcome. It's just, and I think we did this a while back on the podcast, and I kind of demanded a shield around certain films and certain bits, and I said, you know, you can't remake them, not because I don't think you do a good job, just because you don't need to. And I've decided that Highlander is one of those films. They made the first Highlander film, then they made a billion more, which no one watched. I've looked into it. Each Highlander sequel immediately ignored the preceding sequel and positioned itself as a direct sequel to the first Highlander film. And they did that 4 times. Right? They went, Highlander 2, ignore Highlander 2. Highlander 3, ignore everything that happened in Highlander 2. Highlander 4, which wasn't called Highlander 4, ignore everything that happened in Highlander 3 and 2. They were never here. Highlander 5, there is no Highlander 2, 3, and 4. Please ignore all of them. It's been rebooted less successfully than Terminator the same number of times.
The script of Highlander tells you everything you need to know. There can be only one.
One. Indeed. Right. That was all I wanted to say about Highlander. I'm going to give you a sting now because apparently I have been a bit remiss in my button pushing.
Yeah. Bring the stings. Tasty.
So, thank you. Let's now focus towards the future.
You're pulling out your Keanu.
No, never go
pose.
Never go.
About 50% Keanu future pose. Whoa. Lovely.
Whoa. People keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Right, let's.
Are you mad, John? Yeah, I think I am.
Right, stop it, because I'll go full Keanu. He's not coming back.
Pull it back, man. Pull it back. Come on.
No, I can't. Strange things are afoot. Just Circle K.
Just get your gun and fire it into the air multiple times. Just that'll help you.
All right, I'm fine. Okay, we've got some films to talk about. What's coming? What's happening? What are we going to be spending our fuffle on? Do I need to get the bell?
Well,
I'm getting the bell.
Actually,
No, Faith? I'm getting the bell.
Okay, get the bell. While you get the bell, I'm going to just quickly go through current top players for the current week.
Hang on, I'll pound the bell.
We've mentioned.
Hey,
you found it.
Back, found the bell.
Yeah.
I always forget the bell.
So we've mentioned some of the top films that are out. Week 22, Quiet Place, Conjuring, Cruella,
yep.
Peter Rabbit 2. What I wanted to bring up was the top players. So top 10 for week 22, we've got patron and previous champion, Paximilian, at number one.
Whee!
Making 33 million Fufflebucks in 1 week.
That's
because
impressive.
Of the, right, well, for this year, absolutely. Because of the having two charts now, right? So following number two, we've got Michael, another patron, Kevin McDee at three, then Wags, Finding Captain Howdy, the Fantasy Film AI guys, they're at number six.
Ooh.
In week 22, having made just short of 17 million. Then we've got Soulless, Patrick, Maximilian, sounds a bit like Papsimilian. I'm wondering if there's a...
evil twin.
An evil twin thing, there you go. And then finally, at number 10, we've got another patron, Millstone Barn.
Way.
So that's our top 10. Now, Millstone's made just shy of 9 million. So you can see the difference between like 10th place with 9 million in a week and top 33, almost 34. So there's quite a range week to week. So there's definitely room. I mean, even if you're a new player, right, we could be calling your name out quite soon because getting into the top 10 in any given week is definitely doable for new players. So. So that's where we stand. But yeah, you were asking about films coming up. Now, there's definitely a lot more films coming out now. And in fact, I think on the, not this week weekend, but like the weekend of the 18th, there's sort of about, there's over a dozen new films coming out. So we're not going to try, we're going to look at like what's out this week and next week, just because that'll help you sort of pick, think about the cast you might want to pick. But we're going to pick about five of note that we think are worth mentioning. So the first one is called The Misfits.
The Misfits.
And this is, I think the best way of thinking about this is, imagine Ocean's 11 meets Fast and Furious. It's a heist movie.
I'm in.
It's
the only thing that can make this better.
You're more
the only thing that can make this better if you tell me a former James Bond is in this film. Is a former James Bond in this film?
A former James Bond is in this film. It's Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, okay.
So
if it was Dalton, I'll be all over it, but...
The Misfits, yes. I think he is the... He is the serial professional breaker into safes.
Breaker kind of guy. Things.
He's running a team, and it's got lots of much younger cast, none of whom you can pick. In this film, you could have Pierce Brosnan, and you can have Tim Roth turns up as well.
I'm guessing Tim Roth is the honest yet put upon cop who has to try and stop them.
I think he's definitely on the cop side. Yes,
yeah. I mean, there's not a lot going on.
It's Brosnan versus Roth, right?
Awful.
For like who can break in and get away with it? You know they're going to break in and get away with it. It's definitely got that Fast and Furious kind of vibe in terms of like the music and the editing, certainly in the trailer. I mean, maybe the film's different, but they're definitely and it's a good filler until Fast and Furious 9 turns up in a couple of weeks. So yeah. I think this one might be worth, if this is out this weekend, it might be worth a shot. The trailer, there's some definite slightly dodgy acting in showing the trailer. So I'm not sure it's necessarily the best film, but I think it's a definite popcorn, turn off your brain, probably quite enjoyable anyway.
Safe to say this probably in any other year would have probably gone direct to video or cable, but they're possibly just sending it out to see how it does.
You don't hire Brosnan, I think, you know, for a straight to streaming thing.
Okay.
I think it would have gone out. I don't think it would ever have been top of the charts material. It might even struggle now just against the competition, but it's notable. I think it's worth your consideration.
All right. Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Let's
All
move right. on to another one. So this is the other sort. This is really the. This is coming out this weekend, in the UK, and then next weekend in the US. And I think it's the only other sort of competition for the Misfits in terms of brand new releases, and that is In the Heights. And this is brought to you by everyone's favorite Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh yeah.
Hamilton. And guess what? That's all over the trailer. This is from the guy who did Hamilton, and it's another musical. I get the sense that it might be quite like The Greatest Showman, It's got a young cast again. It's set in like Washington Heights. It's sort of got that West Side Story kind of thing going on, right? But it's very colourful. It's almost sort of verging on Bollywood size and scale, you know, singing and dancing.
Does someone break into song and then everyone on the street immediately knows what the dance steps are and line in behind them?
Everyone in the entire neighborhood knows the dance. It's big scale. And there's some sort of really nice magical realism type stuff. There's a bit where they sort of start walking up the side of a building and the wall in sort of 1960s Batman style, the wall becomes the floor and stuff. So I think if it gets good word of mouth, this could be like The Greatest Showman. Doesn't necessarily, you know, get critical acclaim, but just cleans
just,
up.
It just
and people go back
because
they like this, they like the song, they go back again. It's definitely got that vibe.
So how long was The Greatest Showman in the charts for? It's like 4 or 5 months, wasn't it?
It's still there, man. It's still it never left. There's just a couple of people, John M. Chu, Anthony Ramos, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the people you can pick currently. Probably not going to get that cast expanded, seeing that it's basically out now. I don't know, but you have the discretion to add cast later.
I'll tell you who the two people in that who I'd probably look for would be Jimmy Smits and Stephanie Beatriz.
Right. So Jimmy Smits is not available currently, and I think he's definitely kind of the you see him for like a flash for a moment in the trailer, and he's kind of like the elder kind of advice giving dude that someone's talking to, probably someone's parent, I imagine. So this one's notable. I think it's a bit of a gamble, but if it catches, I think it could be on fire for, you know, quite a while.
Now, because this is a whole new world, do not break into song or I'll slap you.
Never.
Jimmy Smith is now in the system.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Live.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But we need to remember to add him to In the Heights as well.
Yes.
Because that would be cruel. Allow people to pick and then kind
that
of
would
like
be really,
dangle
that would
him be like a carrot. Funny. Like a carrot and then whip away. Talking of carrots, see that smooth.
That was good.
Transition coming up here. Peter Rabbit. Now, Peter Rabbit's been out in the UK and supposedly saving UK cinema for many weeks already. But
well, it's because
in the US next week.
Yeah, it was the half term here. So the holidays were on and everyone went to see Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit, containing no one's favourite talk show host, James Corden.
Yeah, quite a wide now. Obviously, partially animation. So you've got 4 voice people you could pick. Hayley Atwell, Margot Robbie, Sam Neill. And Elizabeth Debicki. I can pick Sam Neill. I'm going to have Sam Neill, right?
Sam Neill was in the first film, but he died in the first film while doing a noble thing, which was trying to throttle the life out of James Corden.
Maybe it's his ghost. Who knows?
Ghost of Sam. All right. Cool.
Real people earning real money. Rose Byrne, Donald Gleeson. And David.
Who was the second one after Rose Byrne? Say that again.
Donald Gleeson.
Who? What?
Look, when you have trouble with names, I save you. When I'm having trouble with names, you're throwing me under the bus.
I know, mate. It's just funny. So we got Rose Byrne. We got.
Yeah, Donald Gleeson.
Donald Gleeson. Thank you, Donald Gleeson. Yes.
Donald Gleeson.
Yeah.
And David Oyelowo. And now I'm just like, I'm stuffed. I can't do anyone's name.
Let's go.
Directed by a guy called Will Gluck. So there's a lot of people to pick from here. Okay, another little tangent here from Owen. I heard an interview with Will Gluck where he was talking to Mark Kermode, who, if you don't know, is a film critic who excoriated the first film.
Yes.
Will Gluck heard that and basically wrote scenes in that kind of addresses the problems that Kermode and other critics had with the film. And called him out, but then and people were telling Kermode, saying, I think he heard literally your review because of stuff that's it. And so they had an interview together and Will Gluck was like, yeah, I heard it and it was rough, but I wanted to try and make a film you would like. And so he basically addressed some of the problems in the second film. And Kermode was like, yeah, you know what? I enjoyed the second film way more than the first one. So bizarre.
Wow.
But yeah, there you go. Just amazing. So apparently quite a different film to the first one. I'm sort of addressing it. I think even I'd say, like, why are you calling it Peter Rabbit? It's got nothing to do with Peter Rabbit. And it says, like, and they make jokes about that in the second one. So it's quite knowing.
Okay.
From what I've heard. So yeah, doing very well in the UK, possibly because it's a better movie and, you know, there's not a lot of competition. But yeah, coming out in the US, a lot of people to pick from. Right, two to go. Now, this one got me excited for a moment until I found out what it was, because I was looking in Whopper at the people in this film, and in this order it came up: Edgar Wright,
yeah,
Mike Myers, Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, and then I stopped because, like, what? Ryan Frost, Pegg? What's going on? Right? I thought I was in. This is not really a reunion of those three. This is, it's called The Sparks Brothers. It's a documentary about the band Sparks.
Yeah.
From Edgar Wright. And I was thinking, well, and you watch the trailer and there's talking heads and there's, like, loads of famous people, and they list out the famous people who are in it, and there's so many that you can't read them all. It's that fast. So I'm looking through the cast list. I'm scrolling down. It's like, where's Frost and Pegg? Why is Whopper telling me Frost and Pegg down? And it's everyone as themselves, you know, himself, blah, 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 blah. Get to the very bottom, and at the very bottom of the list, I've got to scroll down again so I can look at it. You've got Simon Pegg as the voice of John Lennon, and Nick Frost as the voice of Ringo Starr. So what? I think we have a problem to think about. It's like, when this comes out, if it gets into the top 10, are we going to let Simon Pegg and Nick Frost score as doing voice cameos of the Beatles in this
I really wish that you hadn't brought this up on a podcast. Wish that you hadn't brought this up on the podcast that we're recording now, because now everyone's going to go, oh, well, I think you'll find that Nick Frost is in that film for 4 seconds. Right, okay. let's address that problem.
Well, I'm just giving you forewarning. You've got 2 weeks to sort this out before it lands on our plate.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So that was very exciting. And then, Frank, I mean, it looks like quite an interesting documentary, but ultimately a bit disappointing from where the point.
I don't know who Sparks are.
Which was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know who Sparks are. I don't know. I've never heard of that. They're a really weird kind of avant-garde.
Yeah, duo band, right? From the late 70s or early 80s.
Right, which explains why I've never heard of them.
They're one of those influential bands that a lot of people, or if not most people, haven't heard of.
Right.
And in fact, in the trailer, they say, you know, one of the talking heads says, you know, there's loads of bands that probably could trace their lineage back to Sparks, but they won't know that's where they've come from. Right.
Okay.
And I think that tells you everything about that you need to know, that it's probably quite an interesting documentary, but
can we talk about Last Night in Soho?
That's not. I mean, you can talk about it, but it's
can
not
we? I mean, yet, talking so, about you've talked about Edgar Wright, and he's having a bit of a resurgence at the moment on the grounds that they're bringing out the delayed 10-year anniversary edition of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, a film that I give a strong 7 out of 10 for. They've re-released the soundtrack, which includes the internet's favorite person, Brie Larson, she sang in the film, but on the soundtrack it was the original band, and now the soundtrack's got her singing, and apparently everyone's gone, in fairness to her, even though everyone kind of gets very irritated by Brie Larson, she can sing and she does quite a good job. So he's having a little bit of a moment. And then we got Last Night in Soho, which I don't know if it was you or someone else who basically said, no, it's Good Night, Sweetheart. which for those of you who don't live in this country, there was a sitcom in the 90s, and it was about a guy, and if he walked down a certain alleyway, he would be automatically transported back to 1940s London. And it was all about him living the two lives simultaneously.
It was Nicholas Lyndhurst, Time Bigamist.
Yes.
Which sounds like an FFL title. It's something Whopper would auto-generate.
Nicholas Lyndhurst, Time Bigamist. yes. So that's a better Right, we're back. We had to take a little break there because Smith managed to completely derail the recording by using the term Nicholas Lyndhurst time bigamist, which, by the way, is now the title of this episode. So if you downloaded this and just went, who's Nicholas Lyndhurst and why have they called the episode this? This is the reason. So we had to take... No, stop it. No, I'm barely hanging on, Smith. Don't make me push the button again.
I'm good.
Right.
I'm good.
professionalism. But, oh, it's been such a long time since we completely lost it during recording, so thanks for that, mate.
That was funny.
Right, we were talking about Last Night in Soho. When is that out?
Oh, now you're asking, right? Now,
okay,
now
it's a couple of months, isn't it? It's not,
it's
for a while. Because that I think that looks real. I mean, Edgar Wright, it looks like a really interesting film. It's got Matt Smith in it, it's got Anya Taylor-Joy, and it's got weird time travel, and I'm all about weird time travel. I love all that stuff. So
frankly, Edgar Wright is probably aware of Goodnight Sweetheart.
Goodnight
Wright,
Sweetheart, so thank you. Don't. I'm this close, mate.
I'm good. We had one more film to talk about that's coming up, but you kind of, and I was building to it, but actually, you've kind of, it's probably exactly what we need to calm down now, which is the fact that the hitman's wife's bodyguard. Is probably not going to be very good. I think it's still notable for a couple of reasons. It's got a bunch of people in it. So Morgan Freeman, Richard E. Grant, Ryan, oh my God, 15 million Fufflepuffs, Reynolds, Salma Hayek, Steele, Samuel L. Jackson, Antonio Banderas. Big, strong, recognizable cast, some of whom are, even regardless of what the talk about the film might be, potentially a good buy. It's being released midweek or early to give it a longer run-up. So even if it sucks, it's going to have been out for maybe as much as like 10 days rather than a regular 7 days, maybe even longer, because it's coming out on the 14th and the 16th of June. They're giving it a long box office weekend. That kind of guarantees it or increases its chances of getting to number one, because the positioning is just on the box office date. So if it's in the cinemas longer, it's going to earn more. It's going to be more like Tip Top. Now, it might drop out very quickly if it sucks. Right? You might not get your 4 weeks of winning. But maybe some of the cheaper folk are worth having if you like doing a snap film that's going to be in and out.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to only leave it running for a couple of weeks, your fantasy film, and then...
I think of those people, the bargain of that group is... Oh, the bell doesn't work. It's Salma Hayek. If you're going to buy anyone from that, get Salma Hayek in that, because I think you're right. I think the film's going to come in at number one because there's nothing else on, and then the word of mouth is going to crush it. The first one was okay, but wasn't great. And
it
I think
was fine.
It was fine, but it was, it's not going to set the world on fire. The second one, I think, apparently they said the most notable thing about this film is that it's supposed to be a comedy, and there's not one joke in it that hit. So I think it is a bad one. And I think, we need to be a bit careful. So just, if they'd released this, you know, 3 months ago, it would still probably be in the cinema, but I think it's going to get crushed in the stampede of other films. So,
I think, we've got the behemoths start landing very soon.
Exactly.
Fast and Furious, things like that. So, it's got a very limited shelf life.
Okay, so a couple of investments. So Salma Hayek is our investment of the week. We're not allowed to talk about Goodnight Sweetheart again because it's going to cause problems.
No.
I'm going to push this button, and then we're going to have to talk about Bad Film Club. Are you ready?
Yep.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
We love him. We can't live without him.
Love him, indeed. Can't live without him. But, I mean, he has so many films. Just statistically, you're going to end up watching one by him eventually.
So we've actually got two bad films to cover because we completely forgot to talk about Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. So let's cover that very quickly.
Okay.
We watched Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. It was bad. Don't watch it. So moving on, we then decided to watch.
Oh no! There's one moment that's worth watching, which is the closing scene for just how insanely televisual it is. It's like something from the end of an episode of Murder, She Wrote. Do you remember how it ends? On like a, they're in the, like the film has they're finished, and then the and then you cut to them in the airport, and there's some awful gag followed by a freeze frame comedy gag.
It's like the end of the Naked Gun, where they all
But it's not, it's a freeze frame on Stallone gurning at some awful joke. It's almost, but not quite worth the whole film for that bizarrely rubbish. It's like the pinnacle of badness.
It was weird.
But yeah, it's a terrible film.
Yeah, it was absolutely bad. So we thought we'd basically put in the palate cleanser, and basically you specifically started screaming Nick Cage, Nick Cage, Nick Cage. So we watched Ghost Rider.
Because I've not seen Ghost Rider. I kind of wanted to see it when it came out, and sort of regretted not seeing it, even though I heard really stinky reviews of it. So I was kind of like, it's one of those things like, yeah, I've always kind of wanted to watch it, and I thought it would be a fun one. It was kind of fun in a rubbish way.
So we do drinking rules, which are completely optional for Bad Film Club. And we don't normally talk about the drinking rules on the podcast, because you can look them up in Discord.
No,
we don't. But just to clarify, it was drink any time of the... These were the four drinking rules for Ghost Rider. It was one, any of the dialogue is either whispered or screamed. Two, anything sets on fire.
Oh, there's plenty
Three,
of that.
Three, someone goes crazy eyes. Or four... anyone overacts. And then the fifth rule was double drink if it's Nick Cage that does any of those four things, right?
So how drunk, following those rules,
how drunk were we about 20 minutes in?
All massively drunk.
Yeah. So but it was terrible. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible film, but it was also awesome.
I mean, there's something inherently about a guy who turns into a skeleton with a flaming skull. I mean, it's kind of like,
it's a tale as old as time.
There's a certain level under which, you know, that never devalues, right? There's a certain amount of entertainment from seeing a flaming skull on a bike, right? Yes. Driving really fast and wrecking stuff.
And if that person also gets to go full crazy eyes Nick Cage before bursting into a flaming skull on a bike, that's bonus points, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's got lots of good elements. It doesn't add up to much, but it's passingly diverting.
So it did point out the two things pointed out that kind of horrified a few of our members who are watching along. One, Peter Fonda is the devil in this. As in Peter Fonda, he's the devil. And also, someone who was brought to my attention is a gentleman named Wes Bentley.
Ooh.
Who played one of the fallen angels. There was four fallen angels who were all kind of dark, brooding, and leather jackets. They looked like an emo. They looked like My Chemical Romance in 2004.
which is roughly when this film came out.
But Wes Bentley is bad in this film. And I kind of went, who is he? And then Estelle kind of went on about the fact that he's also the guy who was in The Hunger Games and was bad in it.
Yeah.
And he was the guy. And then you went through all the other films he's in and he's bad. So I think he may need to be an identifier for a potential bad movies. But, and we're going back to Highlander now, so stay with me. I suggested Highlander as a bad film. And everyone said, it's not a bad film. It's an awesome film, because all the bad bits in that film are awesome. And it started me thinking about the fact that Highlander is a bad film.
Mm.
It's cheap. It's badly acted. The special effects
in a way.
Badly cast. Christopher Lambert couldn't speak English before that they started filming that film. He learned English in order to do that. And then that's... The effects are really ropey.
Mm-hmm.
It is... The budget is minuscule. They managed to get Queen in to do the music because they asked him to do one song. They then looked at the film and went, this film's awesome, and just did more songs for them, because they don't actually asked him to do one. And then the whole band just kind of went, and they all took turns writing songs. And then they effectively did the soundtrack for them.
And I think that's what elevates the film. I think the soundtrack definitely has a lot to answer for in terms of turning it around.
But it is, everything about that film should be a bad film.
Mm.
But then it's not. It's awesome. And then you made a suggestion earlier on, just before we started recording, about, you said, oh, there's more bad films that we need to watch. And you mentioned Tremors.
Yes.
Tremors is an amazing film.
Yes.
I love Tremors. It's great. But it, again, it, feels it should like be a bad film. It's a
bad film club, yeah.
It should be a bad film. It's silly. It's cheap.
It's a B movie. It's a B 100% movie. 100% a B movie.
But it's a good film. So I started getting a bit more kind of deconstructive about this. Is all the bad films that we've watched so far, and there have been some really bad ones. Ooh. I think that they've missed greatness by a touch.
By a small amount, yeah. I'd
love to go back and I'd love to dissect these films in a bit more detail and say if they had done this instead, it would be awesome. Like Ghost Rider is a bad film because it makes no sense. It's baffling. It makes no sense. There's plot elements in that that are just not required.
The thing with the eyes, that's
really weird. Yeah. And it requires you to have read every Ghost Rider comic book ever printed up to that point, which is great if you're a big fan of it. But if you're not, it makes it inaccessible. However, I think if they'd made a couple of different decisions, then it would have been a good film. And I started thinking about it, and I'm now designing new podcasts in my head thinking I want to go back and say this is a bad film, but I'm not going to rag on it. I'm actually going to go, here's how you would fix it. But
here's how Highlander, you doctor it.
Highlander's a bad film, but it just caught you and you went, it was awesome. I think if you showed I watched Highlander when I was about 17, which is like peak Highlander age, because it bombed in the cinema, and then it just came out on VHS, ask your parents, kids, VHS, and it absolutely killed on the home video market. It was being rented, and then everyone bought it, and it was just became cult viewing. But I missed it. I didn't watch it until I was a bit old, I missed it because 85 it came out, and I was way too young to watch Highlander then. Believe it or not. But you watch it at 17, you're like, this is the most rad film I've ever seen in my entire life. There's swords. There's immortal people. There's a kick-ass soundtrack from a band I've not really heard of before, but apparently Queen's quite good. They were quite big in the 70s, I'm told. There is just enough nudity to keep me interested. I'm 17. It's awesome. Bing, ching, ching, ching. There's beheading. It's cool. But I think if you showed it to someone now who's the age of 17, they just go, this is a crap film. I can see the strings. What's that guy talking to?
Indeed. I could conduct that very experiment, which is kind of why I wanted to turn up on Bad Film Club.
Yes. So anyway, but we're getting some pushback. And also then someone said, well, we watched Highlander 2 instead. That's a bad film. And everyone just went, no, we're not doing
it's
that.
It's bad. It's bad. And then there's
terrible. Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic Film Club.
Apocalyptic Film Club. Welcome to the end of the world. I give you Highlander 2. Like, no! start me thinking. But, Ghost Rider. Oh.
Mm.
And I think we're watching an Adam Sandler film next.
Oh, really?
That's definitely soured my mood. I don't think even if you shouted the words Nicholas Lyndhurst time bigamist now, I don't think it wouldn't even make me smile because I've said Adam Sandler.
Look at that face of nothing. Granite now. Yeah.
And that is it for this week. Sorry for the complete and utter disruption halfway through that. We absolutely lost it. Haven't done that for a while. I apologize. We will be back in 2 weeks' time to talk about more films that are coming out. We will look at some box office performance. We're also going to go through the figures, the best earners so far, because we're at that halfway point now in the year there's a big rush of films. So I think this is the calm before the storm, so to speak. We'll look at that. We'll look at all the big movers and shakers. We'll tell you who you should have spent your money on.
Hey, losers, this is what you should have done.
But no, absolutely. But I think last time we looked at it, Mila Jovovich was like a really good investment last time we looked through this. And you're like, what? Really?
Yeah.
But because of Strange Times. Anyway, so we're going to do that. We're going to cover some stuff. I promise I will not mention Highlander, Henry Cavill, Bond, but I do reserve the right to continue to do Keanu Reeves impersonations. You cannot take that away from me.
If
you need anything from us, we're on a Discord group, as usual. You can find us there. We're also on the Twitter. We're at the FFL, or you can find me at Mr. Birch FFL. I'm quite active on Twitter, actually. I'm kind of, well, I kind of lurk around and generally
I've make comments. I've noticed you're a little bit more,
Well, it's, I stay, I mean, Twitter is dark and full of spoilers, but I tend to stay away from anything like that. I tend to stay very firmly focused on talking about films, and no, I don't get diverted by all of the other things that people like to talk about on Twitter. So but if you want to at me, you can at me. Is that what they say now? At me?
Yes, probably. Yep.
Just find us on Discord. We're always on Discord chatting away. So we're back in 2 weeks' time, where we're going to have to deal with the PTSD of possibly watching an Adam Sandler film with Bad Film Club. Unless I can divert that particular Armageddon towards us, but I don't think we can. And that's it. We need to continue working on what our intro music's going to be, because I'm still haven't decided on it. It was too epic, but we still have got our outro music. No one's worked out what it is yet, but I'm still going to just keep pushing that button until everyone kind of goes, hang on, is that? It is. So we're going to play it now. Anything to add?
Nope.
See you in 2 weeks' time. Don't use Shazam. That's just cheating.